Yeah. Thank you so much for being here this morning, and that is quickly since the summertime became one of my favorite songs. If you ever just are looking for that one song just to kind of let it go in, let it go, right? Just enjoy that worship. I was thinking this past week, I had a few conversations with people knowing that the anniversary of the bombings and 9/11, I guess for most of us, and I think most people would agree that if you were very aware of the world and alive during that time, a lot of people still say that that was definitely a life changer. That was something that that you never quite forget when you have someone call you or you see it for the first time. I was working with a gentleman who was in the Air Force, and he was in guard at the time, and I remember him calling me and asking me to turn on news, which was not quite as easy as it is now, just on your phones and stuff like that, on smartphones. But I remember seeing, you know, those images, and a lot of us finally kind of realized, man, this is actually real. And, you know, it seems like, man, 15 years has just kind of gone by in a blink. Dale was telling me the other day, he said, do you realize that this year's high school freshmen are the first class that were not alive at all when 9/11 happened? Which is remarkable that they're just a few years from graduating, really not having experienced that. And I think there's a group of people who are experiencing it. I actually was I was coaching at the time, and on 9/11, I remember meeting with the volleyball team that I was coaching, and just trying to talk to a group of high school volleyball players and kind of put in perspective the magnitude of what happened. And just want to say, especially for our church, I think it's amazing. We have a pretty high percentage of our population here that would probably be classified under first responders, whether it's fire, EMS, whether you work in the medical field, the police, sheriff's department, something like that. If you serve in any area like that, or maybe you're here representing someone that does, maybe they're serving right now, would you mind just standing up just for a second so we can give you a hand? If you serve in any of those emergency services and you're on that first response, would you mind standing up for us, please? Yeah, go ahead and stand up, please. Thank you guys so much. Thank you, ladies. What we're going to talk about today kind of sparks out of, I think, a feeling that I know I had coming out of 9/11 is that kind of tragedy. And we've been in this series. We started a series last week. We call it Open Doors. We're asking God to kind of open some things up in our lives so that we will see what His will is for us. So we will see the perspective that God wants to give us. Last week we talked about, and I said it a few times, and I still firmly believe it, one of the all-time worst messages I've ever personally preached on the subject of Sabbath rest and being rested and refreshed. And this week, again, it was just like another week of painful reminding that I don't rest well. I came up against frustration several times just being short on that rest. I'm trying. Maybe you have it. You're good. For some of you, this is your rest. You just sleep when I start talking. You're welcome for that. So I'm working on it. But today we're going to talk about really asking God to open up into our life this idea of community, specifically the kind of community that we want to foster around here. Now, in a second, I'm going to get going. I do want to mention a couple things. Today we're going to talk about the group session that's going to be going on today at the end of the service. But next week, we have baptism. If we know that we've got some, especially some students and some adults that have made decisions to accept Christ because you've done it either in here in our services or at some ministry that we've been at. And we really want to encourage you. Jesus himself led us in baptism, and we want to celebrate your salvation decision with you as you make that as a public profession of faith. The Bible tells us to do that. If you've got some questions about what that looks like, what that would be like, I'm going to be just beyond the connection table and talking to people specifically about that this morning after the service. I'm pumped. I get to baptize. I'm already crying about it because it's my oldest son. I get to baptize next week. And he's saying, like, Dad, I'm nervous. Man, you think you're nervous? I'm about to freak out now. Like, I don't, I'm just going to have to just this whole week, just have water in there, and just, I'm going to be baptizing Dale just for practice this week, just so I can hold it together emotionally. But man, I'm excited, and baptism is such an exciting time, because it says to people publicly, I'm a Jesus follower. It doesn't say publicly that you're perfect. Don't worry about that. But I do want you to please pray about that. If you could today, especially if you're curious about it, I would even say curious about it, if you please would contact me, sign up so we can get that ball rolling this week, so we can make those decisions this week, because we do have little video testimonies and stuff that we do. So we like to do that. Also, next Sunday afternoon, Starting Point, if you are curious about what God is doing here, maybe you just kind of go, man, this place feels awesome, but it's kind of quirky. And you just want to find more about what's going on here at the church, or maybe you've been here for a little while and you really would like to join and become more of a member of the church, would love for you to be here next Sunday. We do need you to sign up, because we do prepare, we do provide a meal. You don't need to bring anything, but we do need to make sure that our account is right, because when food runs short, we get vicious, okay? So we want to make sure that that's right. For those of you who have come to that already, and we haven't had a chance, our schedules and stuff haven't met up because maybe you've been busy over the summer, please let me know the next couple weeks. We'd love to sit down and meet with you when it's convenient to you about joining the church and taking that step. And very special guest here. One of the first people that I met here after I met Dale. Actually, Dale and I met years back when I realized he was way cooler of a youth pastor than I was. Was one of the first people I met here through the process of interviewing was Forrest, and his mom is here this morning. So can we give her a hand? It's great to see her. I told her this morning, I said, you know, for most of us, we've really been puzzled where he came from. We didn't know if he was a creation, if he was born a baby, and if he was born a baby, did he have that mustache when he was born? We don't know, right? So I just, in my mind, I picture that with a little baby. So you're welcome, Amber. Amber laughed at that. That was good. But it's great to see, great to have her here. She's living a little bit close to this area now, so it's great to have her around. Community, most of us, we would probably describe the community we live in maybe by out here in the county, maybe you give it a directional title, northern, northeast, eastern, something like that. I remember being a kid, if you grew up in this area in Guilford County, there were the city schools and then there were the directional schools. And all the, it just sounded horrible to go to a directional school. It's like you just didn't quite make it into the city, so we just kind of shipped you out to the county. But a lot of us describe our community differently. A lot of us by maybe the experiences we've had in it, how positively or negatively that's gone, how you feel your community has shaped up over the years if you've lived in about the same neighborhood for a long time. But today, I really want to step aside that and get a little bit more specific to one type of community, and that is Christian community. Now, here's where a lot of us kind of come into conflict with, what do we do when we start talking about we are called, as believers, to connect and be part of a Christian community. So sometimes we get confused. So what is my obligation? Is that just I'm supposed to come to church? Am I supposed to be more connected into these things that everybody, it seems like at every church is talking about, called small groups? Am I supposed to go to a church that allows me to do that on Sunday morning? Maybe you came out of a traditional system like I did of Sunday school. We don't really know what is the level of involvement we're supposed to have in Christian community, because when we all of a sudden put the word Christian in front of it, we get uncomfortable. We feel like, man, I'm going to have to go join up and do weird stuff with a bunch of weird people. And that's not what I want to do. And there's a list of excuses that actually I'm going to show on the screen. I think for most of us, if we're honest, most of us have probably used one of these at some point to either kind of keep us from arm length from being part of a close-knit Christian community, maybe a church in general, maybe a group that meets on a regular basis, maybe from just friends that we know are Jesus followers that we live around, maybe we don't go to the same churches or something like that, but we tend to kind of use some of these to kind of keep us at arm's length, because we either come up against discomfort or fear when it comes to opening up our lives and sharing what's going on in here emotionally and mentally with other people. So here's a list of some excuses. Maybe you've heard these before. Number one is this: I don't feel connected, or I don't feel like I belong. heard that a lot over the years, especially when I see someone who we haven't seen each other in a while, and we had commonly seen each other at church, and we start the conversation, and it's funny, when you're a pastor, people immediately feel like, man, I got to give you an excuse of why I hadn't seen you. Saw somebody this week, and like, first statement was, hey, I've really been trying to come to church. Awesome. And like, in my mind, I'm like, is there a grizzly bear that lives on your road? Like, every Sunday morning you get up and he's just like, ah! You're like, whoa, can't go today. Like, I don't know, is it like an American Ninja Warrior challenge? Like, oh, you fell in the pool. You didn't quite make it this week. And it's funny because we feel like we have, you know, a lot of times we say, well, you know, I don't feel connected. And sadly, a lot of times we don't feel connected because we aren't present. It's this vicious cycle that goes on. We don't feel like we belong. Number two, I feel like they are judging me. They probably are. You know, I hate to say it like this, but people are people. And foolishly sometimes we do form judgments. But I'll be honest with you, I was judged all through high school. I got picked on because of the clothes that I wore when I was in elementary school and middle school because of what we didn't have. I felt like I was being judged there. My mom still made me go to school, though. Feel like I get judged in my neighborhood every time somebody drives by my house and their yard's just looking like it's got grass. Mine doesn't. Stuff like that. You know, we feel so many times like we're judged, but for some reason we tend to put more of an arm's length up when it comes to a Christian community doing that because we know that they shouldn't do that. How about this one? If I get involved there, I can't be me. Now, I've heard this, and I really like this one. Because I always wonder, and I start to going back to number three, I'm judging them at this moment, like, well, who are you if you can't be you in a Christian community? Here's another way to, this is not going to be on the screen, but here's another way I thought you could phrase that. If I do what I want there, I'll have to go to prison. I don't know if those two statements are the same. For me, typically, if I don't feel like I can be myself in a healthy Christian community, if it's a healthy Christian community, if I don't feel like I can be myself, then something's actually probably not the best in my life. Number four, I can be close to God on my own. I can be close to God on my own. There was a guy that I knew for years and years and years and years and years, and he would every time I talked to him, I wouldn't even bring up church. He'd share his testimony of how he got saved. He would tell me exactly what he's read in the Bible, and he would use, and then his third thing would be, and that's why I don't have to go to church. Oh, okay, fantastic. I mean, you know, I'm not going to argue with you. Yeah, you sure you can be saved and not go to church or not be joined into a Christian community, but it stinks. It's no fun. There's no support there because I'm sitting there. I'm like, because it was funny because every time he did that, his wife's eyes would roll. So I was like, bet you're not getting any encouragement at home. Number five, and this has got to be my all-time favorite. That church is full of cliques. Man, that one, it got quiet there for a second because somebody done accused somebody's church of being full of cliques. In fact, it's so funny. I was here, a short amount of time, and somebody said, you know, well, you know, I heard your church is growing. Yeah, somebody told me it's full of cliques. What? Like, can you give me a second to kind of absorb just the celebration of it's growing? You're like, hey, we are growing. You know, and so occasionally when somebody says, you know, I just feel like there's a lot of cliques there. I always like to throw out this. When's the last time you invited me to dinner? Because it kind of busts up that whole idea, you know. Because I don't know about you, but do you tend to hang around about the same core group of people a lot of times? If you don't do it with anger, some people still would call you a clique. You ever thought about that? It's kind of crazy. It really community, and especially Christian community, really comes down to two things. How the group of people lives and acts, and how they're viewed by the people on the outside. Now, if you're on the inside of something, you can be a direct part of connecting people that feel like they're on the outside of something. But I'm going to say this at the outset. If somebody is just bound and determined to stay on the outside of something, that's a really hard person to get on the inside and get them connected. Today I want to talk about a few things that just hopefully opens up this door of being connected into a very specific Christian community. Maybe for you it's coming into this church, or it's getting into a group that will be more connected than even that. But I want to look in Scripture about what our responsibility is and really what God has called us to do. The first assumption I do want us to kind of anchor into, this is not going to be on the screen, but I want you to listen to this. A Jesus-centered community isn't bad. Maybe we've just seen bad versions of it. Can we agree on that? My office would probably say, yeah, I've seen a bad version of what was called a Jesus community, something that was a group of people that kind of gathered under the name of faith and religion and study and all that kind of stuff. But the thing is, what we have to understand is we were created by God in His image. Genesis 1:26 talks about how that God is community. He says, we're going to make man in our own image, in our likeness. There is a Trinity God that we believe in and we worship here, which is God the Father, God the Son in Jesus' form on earth, and God the Holy Spirit who indwells in us and lives in us if we're saved and we've accepted Jesus. Well, that's three parts to one God. That's a community. And we're created with that, and then we're called back to it once we get saved, because it's the same Holy Spirit that lives in us that connects us to each other. In fact, Jesus, in His own words, in Matthew 12, I like how He puts it. He talks about how someone actually tells Him at one point where He and His disciples were gathered, outside of that area, He actually had family that gathered there, His mom and some brothers and stuff like that. And someone actually came in and said, hey, your mom and your brothers, they want to speak to you. And He actually looked around the room and He said, you know, this group of people who believe in Me and follow Me, these are My people. Who's in this room is my mom and my brothers and my sisters. Literally, as Christians, if we're following Jesus, we are family. Now, we're a family that should behave better than most of our natural families, but we are a family, and family is supposed to get together and is supposed to connect with each other. And I want you to hang with me through this, because for some of us, we've been burnt enough by church and people that promised to be close to us and didn't reach out to us in a way that if we're not careful, even going down this road, we'll start to shut out God's Word and the Holy Spirit just speaking to us and our next steps of what He wants to do in our life. I want to read a verse that is going to be on the screen to kind of put this in context out of Jesus' words. We're going to be in three different places in Scripture. The first place is going to be John 13. And this is something that Jesus says to His disciples. Verse 34, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are My disciples if you love one another. Or a lot of translations say, if you have love for one another. See, here's the thing. As Christians, we tend to make this jump to the cross when we read certain scriptures that Jesus talks about. See, a lot of us will read this verse and say, okay, we're supposed to love each other, so that must mean we just, you know, Jesus died on the cross, we just got to sacrifice for each other, so we need to give and we need to kind of discipline ourselves. Think about this for a second. Jesus had not gone to the cross yet. He had not laid down His life and shown His disciples His physical sacrifice for them. So when He tells them to be known as My followers, you have to love each other as I have loved you. All English translations agree is that is being translated as Jesus is saying, hey, if you want to be close, if you want to be My followers, then you need to love and treat each other as I have already been loving and treating you. See, this is prior to the sacrifice of His death. So He's actually telling His disciples here, look, the way we've lived together, the way we've done life together, the way we've eaten together and fellowshipped and we've talked about needs and we've prayed together and we've done all this stuff, the way we've lived together for almost 3 years at this point, He said, this is what it means to love each other and be connected to each other. Well, if you're like me, and by nature, I promise you, you're sitting there thinking I'm lying, but I promise you, by nature, I am an introvert. Now, I don't prove it up here on Sunday mornings, right? I enjoy this and I love doing this, but in my nature, during the week, if I'm not careful, I'll pull back into myself. I will seclude myself if I'm not careful, and I will spend time gladly at times alone because of the way that I see myself and the way that I think about myself. And that's my nature. And for a lot of us, we want to pull in like that instead of just naturally pushing out and meeting other people. Well, Jesus says, look, if my nature is to pull in, that's why my salvation nature is dead to that, like we just sang, we worshiped about. And my new life is God calling me to be connected to other people. The context here is being in community for them was living as they had as disciples and Jesus as a Christian community based on relationships. I listened to a sermon the other day that was done recently, and the pastor said this. He said that the best version of you, if you're a Christian, the best version of you, you'll find it on the other side of good, healthy relationships with other Christians, by the way. That's a phone ringing. It's so funny. I got to tell you this. So I'm in a funeral the other day. Well, that's not the funny part. But I was at a funeral the other day, and behind me, as the pastor starts reading the scripture, behind me, a friend of mine, his audio, his like YouVersion, he hit the audio button. So it starts reading the verse out loud, like behind me, and his wife beside him is just going, shut it off, hit pause, close the phone. I mean, she's just like going off on, I'm shaking, I'm laughing so hard, in the middle of the funeral as the preacher's reading the sermon, because it's just like, I'm dying laughing because all I can hear is her voice just like telling him everything he should do at that moment. And he's just back here, just you can hear his finger hitting the screen on the phone, and it will not shut off. It was fantastic. I mean, the person was saved. They're in heaven. So it was like it was not, yeah, y'all think I'm horrible for laughing. It's fine. But this is the command, this is the law, this is the instruction that we've been given by Jesus, to love each other in this community-driven way. I want to read out of Hebrews 3. This is actually a passage that Andy Stanley has shared a lot over the years. I've listened to some of his talks on community and groups and different things like that. And there's a few things that I want to bring out of this passage in Hebrews 3, verses 12 through 14. It says this, "See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ, which means we have come and developed ourselves if we live the right way in Christian community and walking in Christ." It says we have come to share in Christ. That means that we have basically taken on the mind of Christ, the thought process and the emotional flow of Jesus. We have taken that on. It says, "If indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end." Now, this section of Scripture actually starts in a previous chapter, and this is the lead-off verse. Listen to this. "We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift away." What is one of the main advantages to being part of a close Christian community, so a group of people that you are connected with that will encourage you and walk in Christ with you, is this. Number one, community helps our consistency. Community helps our consistency. All the excuses that I laid out at the first of this sermon, all those excuses, you could sum up all those things as the product of lack of consistency in a lot of our Christian walks. I have done more damage in my lifetime being a bad version of Jesus to people than probably Satan has ever been able to accomplish on some days. I mean, think about it. For people that know that you profess to walk in Christ and you're saved, people that know your testimony and they've heard all the things that you've said, if you drift away and you fall morally, if any of us do, that is so damaging, and Satan hasn't had to jump in there and done anything in their life to really even attack them. It's what my life may play out in front of them. I mean, think about that. If I just completely blew my marriage up right now and fell morally and did all the whatever I could do, that's going to land even on a group of pretty solid Christians as an emotional discouragement. Well, it's the same thing. I mean, you know, our reactions sometimes outside of church, we do more damage than, you know, people say, well, if he's a Christian, if she's a Christian, then what? The woods are full of them. Why are all the Christians in the woods? I don't understand that. Some of y'all, that'll land like at 2 o'clock today. And you'll be like, yes, the woods. I get it now. But here's the thing. In this passage, I want you to listen to this. What happens to our consistency as we're connected to other believers? The first thing it talks about is that we keep each other from drifting. It says, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. In the beginning there, and in fact, a verse that we're going to read in a second, still talks about this, that we ourselves, we can be a part of being accountable to other people to encourage them when something starts sneaking up in life, a sin creeps in there that could be nothing and forgiven and moved on from, but if left unattended, could become something that's a major catastrophe that pulls us completely away from Jesus Christ and walking for Him. It also says there that our consistency is helped by regular investment. It says this, but encourage one another daily as long as it is called today. Have you ever lived a day that wasn't called today? Guess what? That's the regularity that we ought to be connected with each other on. Now, does being part of a group or whatever you want to call small groups or whatever all that stuff is being part of, you mean you got to call everybody every single day? No, but as people that are connected to each other, if you've ever noticed this, the closer you're connected with somebody, especially when you're both Christians, the more you think about them, the more you tend to pray for them, and when your walk has been helped by their walk, the more appreciative you are of them. It actually does work. That we are actually wired this way. Then the last thing in verse 14, it says, we have come to share in Christ. We have been obedient to Him if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. That we as Christians will live a life that we will be finishers. We will finish our life and our race strong, living for Jesus Christ. If you notice there, it says that we'll have the mind of Christ. We will have the thought process and the emotional drive of Jesus. Which what is His emotional drive and His thought process? Back in John 13, where He says, you got to love each other the way I've loved you, the way we've lived together and we've done life together. Second passage we're going to be in this morning is Galatians 6 for just a minute. The first verse in Galatians 6 actually is a great connection back to what we just read and this idea that consistency is helped by this idea of Christian community. Verse 1 says this, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently, but watch yourselves or you also may be tempted. This sounds like how we're supposed to act and perform and be as the church, as people that love each other. Who better than a group of people that you're connected closely with to be the ones that restore you from a sin gently? People that know you and love you. Do any of us want to be called out for a sin that we're committing by people that we don't know? That is horribly unpersonal. It's horribly offensive. It's so discouraging. We just want to either fight or just bury our head in the sand. If we are connected to people who are trying to be Jesus followers as well, when we do sin, when we do fall into sin, it's set up that way so that we should be able to surround each other to say, hey, here's the process that we've got to go through to get our walks back to where they should be so that we can serve and live and give and participate and do everything that we're supposed to do as the church. It is supposed to work that way. Let's go to verse 2 because this is actually getting to where our second point is. Verse 2 says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Again, everything that Jesus said, all His instructions is considered the law of Christ. What is the one thing that He just told us to do? To love each other he said, disciples, love each other as I have loved you. We're fulfilling the law of Christ when we carry each other's burdens. We cannot carry each other's burdens when we live isolated lives. I realize as much as that my personality tells me inside my head and my emotions, Derek, pull back, don't talk, don't let anybody know, then I'm more obedient and I'm better off when I open up and I'm connected to somebody else. It says, if anyone thinks that they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. If we think that we can make it all on our own, we are deceiving ourselves. We are tricking ourselves. We are crazy. Listen to this. Listen to what it says in verse 5. For each one of you should carry their own load. Now, that almost seems like it contradicts itself. It says, one time it says that to share each other's burdens. Then it says to carry your own load. So which one are we supposed to do? Both. See, when it talks about this burden here, that means a heavy load, a load that is just too much for you to carry on your own on a regular basis. Anybody got one of those? Yep, I got mine. I got plenty of it. But then it says that we're supposed to carry our own load. When it says that, the term that they're using there is also used when they talk about, in this period of time, about a soldier's pack, basically like a backpack, the item that they would have put supplies in to carry for what they needed for battle. Let me give you this example. If one day all of a sudden I call Dale and I say, "Hey man, I'm broken down over here on the way to take my kids to school. Okay, I need help." Well, my heavy load at that point is I'm destitute. I have no transportation. I got a need. Well, Dale can jump in and help me carry that. He can actually come by and help me out with my car, or he can even say, "Hey, look, I'll carry the kids to school for you." But what is my personal load in there? He may take my kids to school, but he can't be their dad. He's their youth pastor. He's not their dad. I've got a higher level of responsibility to my kids than he'll ever have. We're supposed to be partnered together in my son's growth and spiritual guidance. But he can't carry my load. See, we all have the personal things that we are called to carry. But then we have that collective burden that we're supposed to carry as well. I think for a lot of us, well, let me go ahead and tell you this. The point number two, in case you're taking notes, but I don't want to move past it too quick. The point number two is this: community helps carry our burden. Community helps carry our burden. I think for some of us, we would go, okay, a more consistent walk with Jesus Christ, That's pretty good. That's one thing I need to have. But then we hit a wall when it comes into, hey, somebody's going to have to kind of help me be accountable when I start to drift. We hit a discomfort level. Well, having someone to help me carry my burdens is sounds good until I have to start to think through that I'm going to have to maybe at times not just physically let them know what's going on, but emotionally open up and let them know what's going on. Then it's like, oh, I need to hit another wall. That's too personal. Because we, a lot of times, have fear of either a fear of intimacy or just a fear of just too much information. Just getting pulled into something that we don't know how to handle. You ever have one of those conversations? I had a lady call the church this week. We do have a phone here, in case y'all didn't know. We do. It's got a voicemail system to it. Emails us if we're busy out doing something else, but we have a phone system. This lady called. I don't know which church she meant to call, but when she called, she asked me, she's a pastor. And by the end of the conversation, we worked through the name, and she had no idea what Highway 150 was. So I'm assuming she probably doesn't go here. But about, you know, a good 45 seconds into the conversation, she was letting me know how her colonoscopy went. I was encouraged. I mean, I was glad. I mean, you know, it's just good report. You know, we celebrated together, we prayed together, just thanking God for just a clean colon. But you know, a lot of us, we're fearful. It's like, it's just going to be too personal. It's going to be too awkward. Here's awkward. I was at my last church. There was a little lady, she was an older lady, and she was just real sweet, lived by herself. She would share a whole lot of information with you. Whole lot. I knew about infections she had, you're like, no, trust me, it was way more personal than just that word. Went into her house one time, and her brother had passed away. He lived down in Florida. Went to her house one time. I was the only one that was in town from the staff, so I went over and talked with her and prayed with her. She sat there and just cried. I had my arm around her, comforting her all that I could. I mean, like 20 minutes, we hadn't budged. I mean, she's crying. And for some of us, we're like, man, that's great. And some of us are like, oh my gosh, I would like want to scream and run in the house. Couldn't handle it. It's too much, too soon, right? And then all of a sudden, she stepped back and she wiped her eyes and she said, I just want to tell you, it just means so much that you came by. I looked at her, I was like, something's odd. She just don't look quite right. All of a sudden, I glanced down at my shirt and her eyebrow was on my shirt. And at that moment, it was one of those times where you're like, you know, there's a too far too soon. Because I'll be honest with you, I don't handle well stuff getting on my clothes unless I came ready to get nasty. So I'm looking at her, and she's got one here and none here, and she's wanting to have a conversation, but all I can hear is eyebrow, 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 eyebrow. It's all I hear, right? And I'm here just trying to, like, I've got to relate to you somehow, and like, I can feel my right eye squinting for some reason, and I don't even know why. And that's something that honestly, when I walk away from it, I laugh at it at the same time. You know, there's so many times where when it comes to opening up, it scares me to death. Because I don't know how much I want to let everybody else know. There's an illustration. I got some people that I asked to come up here and help me with this. There's an illustration. I've seen this done many times over the years. And like most good illustrations, I didn't come up with it. But if everybody, if I ask, if you would come on up here for just a second, there's about six people that are coming up front. This is a major issue with us and how the world sees us and how we see ourselves and what God has called us to be a part of. And I've seen this illustration used quite a few times, and I actually saw it recently and made me think about it. I thought, man, this would be perfect in what we're talking about. I want to ask this group of people if you guys would just kind of circle up, if you would, please. They're circling up specifically in the way that I told them to. Here's kind of what we complain about. All those excuses, right? That we're somebody that's right here on the outside of church. We're on the outside of church, and we don't know what it means to get in, right? And we're going to do a group session today, and really the purpose of that whole group session is to not force anybody in one direction, but just to let you know what we want Christian communities, community groups to look like around here. And I'm not trying to say that you've got to come to them, but I'm just saying if you feel not connected, if you're not in something like that on a regular basis, I'm not talking about just coming to church. I'm talking about being part of a group of people that meet fairly regularly to connect with each other, to share what's going on, to have needs met, to all this stuff. It will be impossible for us as a church to ever really fully be connected and to go anywhere spiritually if all we do is just meet corporately in here. And this afternoon, we're even going to talk about out of Scripture how we see evidence of when the church started doing this kind of stuff is partnered with the explosion that we see in the church. But for a lot of us, we stand on the outside and we go, you know what, that's what church is like. At some point, right now, they're even uncomfortable right now, I bet you. They're finding out who all the armpit sweaters are. So, like, most of us look on the outside of this, and we're just so, like, we don't even know what to do. We're trying to size that group up. All of them are on the praise team. So what does that mean? Well, I'm not on the praise team, so I guess I don't belong, right? Or we look into a group, and we go, okay, well, they seem like they're friends. They live around each other. They're the same age. They're into the same thing. They're whatever it is. And man, that's just awesome. They're connected. And most of us would complain about the church being exactly like this, and I would agree. Because it is wrong when we form a Christian community where we only look in at ourselves and we just close everybody else out. That's not the heart of what Jesus wanted to establish. This is the heart of what he wanted to establish. Would you guys circle up a little bit differently? See, this is how Christian community should look. We should be able to help each other consistently, be close enough to each other that consistently we can help each other with our walk. Does that make sense? If one of us is going through something and the other is right there, then we can partner together and we can talk about it, we can pray through it, we can study the Word and see what God says about it. We can encourage each other. It also means this, that not only are we helping with each other's consistency, but we are so close that we can carry each other's burdens. I'll be honest with you. You take any church, I don't care what the size is, if it's 40,000, 400, or 40, we can't know but so many people and be involved in what their life is in the middle of. But we're still called to carry our load but other people's burdens. Here's this one single difference of what we need to do as Christians that God's calling us to do. He told the disciples, he said, you to be known as my followers, you have to love each other like I've loved you. But then he also told them stuff like, now you need to go and reach people. You need to baptize people. You need to witness. You need to serve the poor. You need to meet needs outside of where you are. You need to go where I send you. See, Christian community should be something that's so close that it can help with our consistent Christian walk. It can support us and help carry our burdens, but it's also got to be looking out to the point that it's not secluded and it's not limited to just what we want to do. It can split up. It can become something different. It can go here. It can go here. Whatever God leads it to do is what it can go do. Thank you guys so much. I know they're part of our praise team, so I know a lot of them are going to stay up here, but I want you to think about this for a second. If you will, would you go ahead and stand up and bow your heads, please? You know, we do have something that's going to go on today at 4 o'clock, and it's going to be, I'm really excited about it. I really hope that you've made plans to be here. If we're all honest, some of us, we got burned by a bad group experience, or we did a small group for a while, and it didn't work out, and it didn't pan out. So we're just, right now, if we're honest, really, really honest, we're probably just emotionally closed off to it. I would ask you to do this. Open the door enough today to see what God wants us to do. Hear from somebody that's doing it right now that's not me, to hear about some successes and some praises. Don't look at it as, I'm going to be fit into this group because this is who I am. I'll be honest with you. I've got friends that I'm close to that come from all different walks of life, different ages, ethnicity, single, married. We want to put people together. We want to help connect people in a way that's positive, the way that helps you with your Christian walk, helps me with my Christian walk. I'm the pastor of this church. And I'll be honest with you, I'm much more comfortable standing right here on the stage than I am going into a house with a few people meeting once a week, every couple weeks, and just saying, hey, look, here's kind of what's just jacked up in my house, and here's what I don't do well as a father. And man, you need that. You're in the middle of that. How can we help with that? Because that's on a totally different level. I've been praying this week that God just fully opens up my heart to just say, you know what, don't lead by comment. You just go be a Christian and Jesus follower yourself and don't worry about everybody else. Whatever this looks like for you, I'm not just saying I'm just about groups right now. I'm not trying to push a sermon towards a goal, but I'm saying this. We can't live a life as Jesus followers as islands. We're supposed to be connected together. It helps with our consistency. Nobody starts out their day wanting to drift far from God. But sometimes we end up there. Nobody starts out by saying, you know what? I just want to be swallowed up in this heavy load that I'm carrying. But we try to muscle it for a while on our own and to see how far we can get with it. Then we're so exhausted that we're too tired to look for anybody to walk with us and help us carry. Would you bow your heads for a second? We're going to go into a time of worship right now. What I want you to do is just, with this thought in mind to God, what is it in my life, what door could I open up, or what door am I holding so closely tight that is limiting me, God, maybe from hearing you, but also from really being closely connected to other Jesus followers, other people that are trying to live their life to please and honor you. What is it that I'm so afraid of? Is there something that I just assume people will judge me for? Is there something about me and a decision that I've made that I'm embarrassed of? I mean, really, what is so big that it would keep us from walking closer to Jesus? Jesus has never saved a perfect individual, but he's cleaned up a lot of dirty ones. I want you to use this time in prayer just to ask God to open the doors in your heart to Him, to be encouraged to do that with others. If there's anything you'd like to pray about, I would encourage you to come up front. There'll be a few of us that'll be around here that would love to pray with you. I look back at tragedy in our nation and how it moved a lot of us together in some forms of community. You know what I'd rather do? I'd rather be propelled by something positive and a victory than I would fear of defeat. don't know if you've ever heard this sports term, but some people say in sports, you need to learn how to win. That means you need to learn how to just have confidence in what you're doing and the trust that it's going to work and that the victory will come. And in our lives, it is God that's going to bring that. God, thank you so much for the time that we've had here together, Lord. We thank you, God, for just wanting to use us. God, giving us a family to be connected together with. Lord, so help us in these moments to worship you, to follow you, and everything that we need to do. God, help our hearts be open. God, to the gospel, Lord, I pray if there's anybody here that's just, they don't know how to be connected, God, because they haven't first been connected to you, God, I pray that today would be their day of salvation, that they would boldly step forward. God, so that we can take your word and we can show someone how they can be saved, and God, we can give them tools and to start their walk, God, with you and for you. Lord, help us, God, to embrace this idea of Christian community and family, God, that you've put in us and you've given to us. Lord, thank you for this time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we worship, the altar's open.